You see, I need a few extra aids than I ever had, too. Let's bow for just a moment of prayer. Lord God, we thank you that thou art God eternal, the everlasting God, the living God, and we can worship thee in spirit and in truth. We commend these moments ahead of us unto thee. Lord, we thank you for what you have laid on my heart, and we pray that as my lips are used to declare thy word, that thou wilt use thy word in each one of our hearts, that we will see from thee something you have for each one of us in a personal way. We look to thee and praise thee for all that thou art doing in our midst. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I'll just share a few thoughts first before I have you turn the scriptures to a passage. We read in our scripture reading, there was one key word, the word understanding. Understanding, another word was knowledge. But first is knowledge, then there's understanding. Knowledge is given to us, but understanding we have to work at. Gets a lot of dads out here. We look back to our dads. We got young people here. You have dads now. Others of us who are older, we look back to dads in the past. Many of them have gone on. Some are still with us. Did Dad ever say to you, do you understand? Usually under a difficult situation because you've failed to do something that you should have done. And God said to you, don't you understand? Don't you understand what you're supposed to do? There's right, there's wrong, you chose wrong. There's a consequence. Oh. Or in the classroom. All of us have been in classrooms in the past. And likely the teacher would say, do you understand what I've brought before you today? And for many, no, didn't understand. For others, I had to work at it. But I thought about it. I got it. And that's what I'm after today. I've got it. I understand. Some of us, when it comes to the understanding, I just want to do things my way. Dad says this, but I'm going to think of ways to get around it and have my way. In the classroom, I think I know it anyhow. But when it comes testing time, the grades show, maybe you really didn't understand too well. What I really want to get after this morning is understanding God. Me understanding God. You understanding God. God has a purpose in every single life. It's amazing when you think of all the people in the world, God has a purpose for their lives. And he wants to draw them to himself. No matter where in the world they might see the creation of God, the beauty of God's creation, and see God there. Look at life itself. Wow, it's so phenomenal. God, the Creator. But see God. Some search for God. When they search for God, God says, I will help you. I'll help you find me, the way to me. Others, they don't care. I don't need God. I want to look at a few lives this morning from the scriptures of God dealing with them in a special way. And we'll ask the question, did you understand God? You with me? Let's turn to Genesis chapter 1 and verse 1. Verse 1 of Genesis 1 begins, in the beginning, God. Pastor brought on attention here. I'll draw attention again myself. Capital G-O-D. When you see capital G-O-D in the Old Testament scriptures, it's always Elohim. Elohim is a plural. So it points out in the beginning our whole Godhead involved in creation. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. God, central. We have the days of creation. All the marvelous things God created. Then on the fifth day, God created man. Down we come down to verse 26 of chapter 1. And God, notice, capital G-O-D, Elohim, said, let us, notice a pronoun plural, let us make man in our image after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. So God made man in his own image, and the image of God created he him, male and female created he them. In the image of God. Put my watch down where I can see it. God created them. We go along a little bit further. God gave a little special instruction. We come down to chapter 2 and verse 16. In fact, we'll go back one verse. And the Lord God... Oh, notice something different here about God? You got Lord, but notice its spelling. Capital L, then the next three letters, even though they're small, they're all capitals. Lord. In the Old Testament scriptures, when you see the spelling that way, it's always Jehovah. No exceptions. Always Jehovah. So we've got Jehovah Elohim. Got some instructions. And Jehovah Elohim took the man and put him into the Garden of Eden to dress it and keep it. Now we saw earlier that he gave man dominion over all the animals, over all the fish. And what an intelligence Adam must have had. He named all the animals. Named all the different fish that he could see. Wow. And those names continue down through today. Many of them do anyhow. In charge of the garden. But then, verse 16, and the Lord God, Jehovah Elohim, commanded the man, he's telling him something, informing him, this is your responsibility, Adam. Catch it. Of every tree of the garden thou mayest eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. A negative. Adam, remember this. All you could have, but the one, no. We come to the next chapter, and we find Satan in the form of a certain serpent comes on the scene, and he communicates with Eve, Adam's created wife. And he says in verse 1, "Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, Yea, hath God said," questioning, "ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden? And the woman said unto the serpent, We may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God hath said, Ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die." Notice she added on a little bit, "neither shall ye touch it." And then she just changed the thinking a little bit. "Lest ye die, God said ye will die." And the serpent said unto the woman, "Ye shall not surely die. For God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods," Elohim, but small g, a lot of little gods, "knowing good and evil." Up to this point, they only knew good. There was no evil around anywheres. But Satan says, you'll know, you're going to get to know evil. "And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food and that it was pleasant to the eyes and the tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof and did eat." And then there's a little pause. Adam wasn't with her then, but he arrives on the scene, and she also gave to her husband with her. She was deceived in eating, but he made a choice. "I know what God said to me. My wife has changed. She's different. I want to be like her. I will eat, and I'll take the consequences." So, and he did eat. And we know the consequences. Instantly, they died spiritually. And then on life itself, did you know they could still be living today if they had not sinned? Wow. But the body took a change. It began to die. And eventually it did die. A lot of result came because Adam chose to sin. Now every human being born in this world after them would have a dead spirit. Dead and trespasses and sins. Already spiritually dead. And with the death sentence on the body, eventually to die. And in the course of life, face many obstacles along the way. And all we have to do is look around. Time to look at ourselves. Say, yeah, I realize that problem. Physical life isn't always quite so pleasant. What else did God do? He drove the two of them out of that wonderful place, the Garden of Eden, then put a protection so they could not go back in. Consequence. We face the consequences today. Question, did they understand God? The answer is No, they did not. Did they know the facts? Yes, they did. But they went against the facts. Let's go a little bit further. Next chapter. Chapter 4. Adam knew Eve and his wife, and she conceived and bare Cain and said, I have gotten a man from the Lord. And God had made a promise to the two of them and to Satan that there would be his seed and there would be Satan's seed and there'd be a problem between them. Satan's seed would crush the foot of God's seed, but God's seed would crush the head of Satan. Child is born. She thought, I have gotten a man from the Lord, that promised one. Seed, a child. There's going to be children, but this one is going to be a very special one. A little something to learn. Months later, a second child born, Abel. More children coming along the way, but they grew up and they had learned that when God clothed them from animal skin, he clothed Adam and Eve from animal skin, for their clothing, death, the first death ever, had to take place. And it took place. But then we learn, we don't have the exact directions from God, but we know from just what was taking place, they were to have sacrifices of animals to cover their sin, but not take it away. So it had to be continual sacrificing to cover their sin. But we learn that, we'll look ahead a little bit further. Verse 3, and in the process of time, a lot of time has gone by, it came to pass that Cain brought of the fruit of the ground an offering made unto the Lord. Not an animal sacrifice, but he's a farmer, the fruit of his garden. Abel also brought of the firstlings of his flock and of the fat thereof, and the Lord had respect unto Abel and his offering. God accepted Abel's offering, but he did not accept Cain's offering. Verse 5, but unto Cain and to his offering he had not respect, and Cain was very wroth, and his countenance fell. And if we would go on a little bit further, we'd find Cain got very jealous and eventually murdered his brother, first human being to die on planet Earth. But here's the oldest son, murdered. And the next son, a murderer. Things don't look very good, but down the line. Ask a question. Did Cain understand God? No. How about Abel? Yes, Abel did, but his life was taken. We can go on further. There's Seth born, and Seth was a righteous man. And in fact, his that next son, a righteous man, his line was going to lead right on to the Lord Jesus Christ coming. And then as more come into the world, eventually Noah. He want to look at Noah. It's about 2,000, a little over 2,000 years have gone by, and Noah comes on the scene. You know, in that block of time, a little over 2,000 years, there were not very many righteous to choose God's direction. Many unrighteous and went Cain's way. So a lot of unrighteous around, but not very many righteous. But one of them, Noah. Turn with me to chapter 6. We find from the end of chapter 5 that Noah was born. He was born of the godly line of Seth. And let's see, find where he was born in Ur of the Chaldees, which is near Babylon of today. And we come to verse 3 of chapter 6. And the Lord, all capitals, Jehovah said, my spirit shall not always strive with man, for that he also is flesh, yet his day shall be 120 years. Little key here for us here. A special judgment was going to take place in 120 years. And we come down a little bit further in the same chapter, verse 8. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Notice all capitals. Then it speaks of the generations of Noah. He was a just man, perfect in his generations, and Noah walked with God. Earlier, I didn't cover his name, but Enoch was told, walked with God. And God took him, a righteous man. But the earth was corrupt. All wickedness around. We come down to verse 13. And God said unto Noah, the end of all flesh is come before me, for the earth is filled with violence through them, and behold, I will destroy them with the earth. Verse 14, he says, make thee an ark of gopher wood, room shalt thou make in the ark, and shall pitch it within and without with pitch. Then we got descriptions of the ark. And we find that it took Noah, we find this about this in Peter, took 120 years to build that ark. He and his sons worked on it. It's a long time to be working on it. Same time they were telling the people around, God is going to do something very special. It's going to rain. Up to that point, it had never rained on planet Earth. Earth was watered by a mist. And he said, it's going to rain. Noah, you're crazy. We have no idea what it is. It's not going to. But they kept building the ark. And by the way, water is going to come up, and this vessel we're building is going to float on the water. Now how stupid can you get? Take an awful lot of water to go from where the oceans were to bring it up to that level and for it to float. You sure are stupid, but kept building. 120 years is a long time. None of us can expect to live that long. But Noah lived over 900 years. He built that ark. Look at verse 18. But with thee will I establish my covenant, and thou shalt come into the ark, thou and thy sons, thy wife, and thy sons' wives with thee. And of every living thing of all flesh, two of every sort shalt thou bring into the ark, to keep them alive with thee. They shall be male and female, of the fowls after their kind, and of cattle after their kind, of every creeping thing of the earth after his kind. Notice the next statement. Two of every sort shall come unto thee to keep them alive. What an amazing sight that must have been. He didn't have to go after the animals. There was choice made amongst the animals. Two of each kind, male and female, would come to Noah at the right time to go into the ark. Wow, the details of God. The animals pay attention, but human beings weren't paying attention. Look at verses 19 and 20. Well, verse 21, and take thou unto thee of all food that is eaten, and thou shalt gather it to thee, and it shall be food for thee and for them. Thus did Noah, according to all that God commanded, so did he. They entered the ark 7 days later. God said it was going to be 7 days. 7 days later, it began to rain. Can you imagine life around that ark on that 7 day period? They went into the ark. God shut the door of the ark, not Noah and his family. And they were in the ark 7 days, no rain. But then things happened. Question: did Noah understand God? And the answer, you've got it. Yes. With all the ridicule that had to take place in that period of time, 120 years, Noah understood God. He kept on faithfully. Even though what God said he was going to do seemed totally impossible. But he understood God, and he did it. Wonderful. Let's turn to Genesis chapter 12. In Genesis 12, it's Abraham. I mentioned Noah born by Ur of the Chaldees. That was wrong. He was born elsewhere. But Abraham was born near Ur of the Chaldees. And in the Babylon area where he was brought up, it was extremely an ungodly place. So much worshiping of many, many gods, but not of God himself. But Abraham somehow realized God, Almighty God. The family moved from Ur of the Chaldees to north of to Haran, which is north Syria today. And then God had a message for Abram. Genesis 12, 1. Now the Lord, notice all capitals, said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto a land that I will show thee. And I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee, and curse him that curseth thee, and in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed. So Abram departed. A little later, just another verse down, we learn Lot went with him. It wasn't Abram alone with his wife. No, it was Lot there. That became a little problem later on. But Lot went with him. Abraham was 75 years old at this time in his life. No children. And God had promised, you're going to raise up nations. In other words, you're going to have children. They kept that in mind, but step one is obey God and go down into, well, it ended up being Israel, where God took him. He didn't know where he was going, but God took him down into Israel. Let's get down. Oh, I get one more thing I want to mention before I move to the next point. They're down in the land. I'm not going to turn the passage because I just want to mention the detail. They're in the land. God does a test. Famine. Food won't grow. What am I going to do? Well, he already knew, do not go to Egypt. But they went to Egypt. And there there was problems. He was afraid for his wife, so he stated, she's my sister. Well, that had a problem in itself. The leadership found out that he had lied. So his character is hurt, and finally he has to go back out, shamefully back out. Question, did he understand God? No. Now we'll go on to my next point. Let's come to Genesis chapter 15. About 7 years had gone by, and verse 1 says, after these things, the word of the Lord came unto Abram in a vision, saying, fear not, Abram, I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward. He had been thinking in those 7 years, my wife has not given birth to any child yet. He's fearful. I won't be able to have a child through her. So I'll do like other nations do. I'll have a servant be as my child. Notice what takes place. Verse 2, and Abram said, Lord God, what wilt thou give me, seeing I go childless, and the steward of my house is this Eliezer of Damascus? And Abram said, behold, to me thou hast given me no seed, and lo, one born in my house is mine heir. And behold, the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, this shall not be thine heir, but he that shall come forth out of thine own bowel shall be thine heir. And he brought him forth abroad and said, look now toward heaven and tell the stars if thou be able to number them. And he said unto him, so shall thy seed be. And he believed God, believed the Lord, and he counted it to him for righteousness. He believed God. He's counted righteous. But we come to the next chapter. And we find, oh, well, let's look at it. Chapter 16. It's 10 years later. So another 17 years have gone by. And Sarai, Abram's wife, bare him no children. She had an handmaid, an Egyptian, whose name was Hagar. And Sarah said unto Abraham, behold now, the Lord hath restrained me from bearing. I pray thee, go in unto my maiden. It may be that I may obtain by her. And Abram hearkened unto the voice of Sarai. He didn't listen to God. He didn't get hold of God. He listened to her. So, verse 3, and Sarai, Abram's wife, took Hagar, maid, the Egyptian, after Abram, and dwelt in had dwelt in the land 10 years in the land of Canaan, gave her to her husband Abram to be his wife. And we know Ishmael came on the scene. Oh, God needed help. Did Abraham really understand God? No. I'm going to just jump a little bit. God had another test And rather than go to the passage, I'm not going to take the time to, because there's more, something else I want to lead into in conclusion. God told Abraham, Abram, Sarah has given birth to a child, Isaac. He was 100 years old when Isaac was born. 25 years went by. God said, Abram, I want you to take this son, your only son, your precious son, and sacrifice him. Offer him as a sacrifice. And we find Abram immediately obeyed God and made preparations for sacrifice. It was 3 days away. So he and his servants and Isaac went that 3 days journey and went up onto the Mount Horeb, and built the altar, put the wood on the altar, put Isaac on the altar, and had the knife all raised. And God says, Abram, look behind you. There's the sacrifice. God had tested Abraham. This time, he understood God. And God then began to do very special things through Abraham. Took all those years for Abraham really to come to grips with God, to understand God in his own walk. But he did. And he obeyed, and God blessed. Resultingly, we have the nation of Israel that came into being. Abram was the first of three patriarchs, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob. God blessed. And we see the results of that blessing in this very special nation, God's chosen nation. Even though they have rejected his son, God's son, the Messiah, his hand is still on them in a very special way. They're going to have to go through an immense trial. 7 years, the tribulation, involving the great tribulation at the end. 3.5 years of tribulation, 3.5 years of great tribulation. Then Israel will wake up and in one day turn to God. Wow. Right now, God has a chosen people, the church. He wouldn't be without a people after his name. So he made the opportunity for the church to be formed, made up of all nations, including Jewish people. And the church is involved today. Now, I want to look at, come back to our word. Let's turn to Proverbs chapter 1. Verse 2. To know wisdom and instruction, to perceive the words of understanding. Got wisdom, but to perceive understanding. Okay, let's come down to chapter 3, verses 5 and 6. I'm sure many of you have got these two verses memorized. They've been very special in my life for a long while. Trust in the Lord, notice all capitals, with all thine heart. Then here's what I'm after. And lean not unto thine own understanding. We need to work at understanding, but we need God's understanding, to work in God's direction. This is what I really want to point you to as we come to the conclusion of this message. Understanding God and God's directives. We'll continue on those two verses. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy path. Let's go to chapter 4 of Proverbs, verse 7. Wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom, and with all thy getting, get what? Understanding. That's what we are. That's what we need. We need spiritual understanding of God. Now let's turn to Romans 8:28. When I was dating my wife, we chose a life's verse for the two of us, Romans 8:28. And we believers know that all things work together for good. Let's first note what this verse is not saying. For we know that all things are good. That's taught by many. Many pastors teach all things are good. If your health is not good, something is wrong spiritually within. If your finances aren't going good, something's wrong with you. Maybe you're not even really saved. If troubles really hit you, no. Notice again. For we know that all things work together for good. It's working in the direction of good. God has very, very special things in our lives that are wonderful. So wonderful. And I found it so special. Some of you know I was in the hospital a week ago for a couple of days. Waiting in the ER room. Had been checked over and been just so much waiting. Hours of waiting. It was wonderful. Song after song after song after song just going through my mind. That's where I lost a little bit of my extra strength. My legs took a turn a little bit for the worst from it, and now the doctor says, this has to be used. My roller, you can't see it from this side, but it's over this side. I hated to have it brought up on the platform. I put an aide behind me. I didn't know how long I could stand on my feet. I'm still on my feet. Wow, I didn't expect it because my legs have been just like rubber the last week. And, well, thank you, Lord. His grace, it's sufficient. It's wonderful. God has special things for us as we go forward. Well, getting back to Romans 8:28. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose. We can't forget the end. God has a purpose for each one of our lives. It's important for us to go in that direction of that purpose. And it's something we have to work at. To have understanding, you have to do something. Now, for example, I'll put one part of that working towards that purpose to your minds right now. You've been sitting through a worship service. Part of the worship service is preaching the word of God. The Lord lays upon the pastor and laid upon my heart a special message. We hear the message. What do we do about it after we go through the doors? Oh, usually just forget about everything. Yet there was something usually very special in each message for each one of us to grab hold of. Now, I think you understand what I'm trying to leave with you to grab hold of, and that is spiritual understanding. We have to work at gaining spiritual understanding. So it's important to think about what you've just heard, what was on the pastor's heart for me, and think about it. I've just hit something else. Our thinking process, our minds work in high gear. Like, for example, as you've been listening to me speak, your minds can work much faster than the words can come out of my mouth. And so while you're listening to the message, your mind can all start wandering. That's what Satan wants to do. Detract our thinking. Our thinking process is so important, but we control the thinking process. In the course of each day, there are many spiritual things. What is God doing in your lives? There are details taking place in every one of our lives. Are we sensitive to those details of what God is doing? It amazes me that God is interested in the very details of every single life. And you get in some spots where you see a lot of people and think, God is interested in every person. That's wonderful. And for believers, it is very special. We have been paying attention to him, have gone that first step of coming into his family. However, do we want to pay attention to God, what God is doing in our lives and in the very details? I just mentioned a little special detail in my life for this past week. Now, actually, it was the end of last week. I got out of the hospital on Saturday, a week ago, yesterday. And, oh boy, I felt good. Came home, and I still felt good. Well, I have the prisoner lessons to get ready to hand out for the correctors. And Saturday, on every weekend, the mail of Thursday, Friday, Saturday has to be put together, recorded in the computer, and then assigned to the correctors. That had to be done after I got home. Well, I had strength, so I said, I'm going to do it now while my mind is fresh. Got finished, just finished, and the doorbell rang. Two people were at the door. One, Jim Taylor, checking up on me. The other, one of my daughters. God had put on her heart to come to be with Dad. She had to cancel some appointments for this past week. But she said, God wants me with Dad. Well, I was tickled pink that she was there. I went out in the kitchen to help her start supper, and then my legs just let go. I couldn't do standing anymore. I had to stay seated. I said, Ruth, you got to do it. She said, I came to do anyhow. I didn't want you doing anything. But God worked that very, very special detail. And we look around and we see details of God's working. It is so wonderful to sense what God is doing for us, sometimes way ahead of our own thinking and planning. In this case, it was But his details. What is my responsibility? What is your responsibility? Trust and obey. And that's our closing hymn. Let's bow in prayer. Lord, we thank you for who thou art, for what thou dost want in each one of our lives, to trust you and to obey you and see you in the dealings of our, and the goings forwards of our lives. Lord, we know that each one of us are vessels in your hands. Lord, just pray that thou wilt direct in a special way in each one of our lives. We thank you for your love. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.